America at 250. Richard V. Battle, the author of this new book out that takes a look at America's foundings and the 18th century. He also has one on the 19th century and coming out soon, the 20th century. And as America celebrates the 250th anniversary of its independence, this award-winning author is encouraging readers to rediscover the remarkable men and women whose courage, vision, and determination helped to build the United States. Richard, welcome to the Lucy Ann Lance Show here on 1290 WLBY. Reflect on us, if you would, and contrast, perhaps, what those early days were like for those Americans, as you call them, versus today in the world that we live in and the politics that we are immersed in. What are the differences?
Well, first, thank you for having us, Lucy Ann, and happy Independence Day ahead of time to everyone. I felt a few years ago, I was sick and tired of our leaders, politicians, our media people kept disparaging the country and our people and our history and our founding. And one day the inspiration hit me that what's made our country what it is and the success it's been is that Americano spirit. And I believe that came from the pilgrims, it came from the people who settled this country. But when we were given our Declaration and later the Constitution, the twin freedoms of political freedom and economic freedom just were full force multipliers to that can-do spirit. And so individuals during our history have either sought their dreams or saw something that needed to be done and they did it. They didn't wait for somebody to hand them something free, so to speak. They went out and made things happen. And that's the spirit I want to make sure our children and grandchildren are infused with so they can perpetuate and pass it along to their children.
The author Richard V. Battle on the Lucy Ann Lance Show here on 1290 WLBY. We're talking about his book, Americans Who Made America, 18th Century Birth of Republic. So let's talk about some of those Americans. And we have to start with George Washington, of course. You also profile Benjamin Franklin, Betsy Ross, Paul Revere. What was it about George Washington that gave him that can-do spirit?
Well, and I purposely picked out 40 people in each volume. Some you know, some you don't, but even the ones you know, you may not know certain things about their can-do spirit. And to me, George Washington is the GOAT, as we call them today, the greatest of all time, because he carried the whole revolution on his back when the days were darkest, when the people wanted to quit the war, the soldiers were quitting. He had generals trying to take his job away from him and get him kicked out. Despite all of that, he persevered. His perseverance and encouragement to other people to keep fighting, keep going when everyone wanted to quit made the difference. And the turning point was after crossing the Delaware on Christmas night, 1776, and winning at Trenton the next day, the attitudes were better from that point forward, but it was still another 7 years after that.
Where do you think they got that fortitude from, these individuals with this can-do spirit like George Washington? How was that formulated? How are those times different, perhaps, than today?
Well, I think there was a combination of two things. One, they were unhappy at being abused by the King of England in the colonies. They didn't like how they were being treated, but they also had that spirit of independence that some of these current politicians are trying to disparage and sell the warmth of collectivism, if you will, versus that individualism where people wanted to be free to do what they wanted for themselves and their families and their neighbors. They didn't want government in their lives. And today, unfortunately, we have too many people that the first time they have a hiccup, they look to government to fix it for them.
They do. And I think that when you talk about individualism today, that is maligned in many ways. It is looked at in a way that you're not part of the team. And it seems just backwards from what happened in the beginnings of this country.
Well, Adam Smith, and he published in 1776 the book Wealth of Nations. He talked about the invisible hand, and I'm a believer in it. And it basically says if everyone uses God's gifts that they were given, all of those contributions together build a better society. The people on the socialistic side, they want government to assign everybody what they're supposed to do. And I don't care who's running the government. You can't make everybody equal, and you can't tell people what they ought to be. You have to let individuals discover their gifts and apply them. And then I'm a terrible singer. I'm not very good with music, but maybe there's something I do better. Maybe you're better in music. Each of us ought to take our God-given gifts and use those. And when we put all those together, we have a wonderful country, and we've had that for almost the last 250 years, and it will continue if we don't let government get in the way of it.
And yet somehow in the era we live in, we do see a lot of innovation. Look at the technology today and how it has taken off.
Oh, and I spent many years in the corporate world in technology, and one of the most amazing things to me is Elon Musk. For him to have founded one of the companies that he leads and do what he's doing, it would be incredible. But for him to have five or six or more companies that are all new technologies and to be as successful as he's been, yes, he's gone and got government grants and things of this type of nature, but his innovation is remarkable, and it's only because he has that freedom to do so that he's been able to do it. He couldn't do that in socialist type countries.
Richard, you mentioned that in your book you share stories we may not be aware of from our history classes in Americans Who Made America as we look at the 18th century. Are there things about Benjamin Franklin or Betsy Ross or Paul Revere that may surprise us?
Well, let me take a detour here. I'm going to tell a story about a lady you haven't heard of, probably, Mary Catherine Goddard. I'd never heard of her till I was researching this volume.
I don't know that name.
She was in Baltimore, Maryland. Her name's on the Declaration of Independence. And you say that to people and they say, I didn't think any women's name were on the Declaration of Independence, but you have to hear the story. So she was raised in Baltimore. Her mother homeschooled her. They didn't use that term then because the girls didn't go to school as much, but taught her languages, math, science, all these types of things. And she went and worked with her father in his print shop and bookstore in Baltimore, Maryland. Well, he died, her brother ran off. So she's running this print shop in Baltimore and printing patriotic pamphlets, which is how they distributed their news and opinions at that point. And she would always put on there printed by M.K. Goddard, because back then people thought less of doing business with ladies, unfortunately. She was commissioned to print the first copy of the Declaration of Independence with the signers' names on it. Now, that was bad because as soon as their names were public, King George of England would put a death warrant on their heads. And that's when they had the risk of lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Well, Mary Catherine Goddard, on that document, instead of doing that, she put printed by Mary Catherine Goddard. She didn't have to do that. The courage it took for her to put her name on there with theirs, because she had a death warrant put on her head also. That courage and example ought to be an example for all Americans, not just ladies.
What a beautiful story. How is it that we are not taught that in school? Never heard of Mary Catherine Goddard.
No, it's unfortunate. I'll give you another quick one if we have a minute. Billy Lee, somebody I never heard of. Well, Billy Lee was George Washington's valet. And yes, he was enslaved to George Washington, but he was with him all during the Revolutionary War. And I believe that Billy Lee was his confidant. When you're high up in organizations, you have very few people that you can speak with and share your thoughts, because they'll tell other people. But Billy Lee, I believe, was there when Washington said, gosh, I don't know if we ought to make this attack. I don't know if the troops will follow me. I can see Billy Lee saying, you've got it, General. They'll follow you. You can do it. And his words of encouragement, I think, affected and helped George Washington. Three reasons I think so. One, he's the only enslaved person Washington mentioned in his will, and he was freed. He lived the rest of his life at Mount Vernon, And when he died, he's buried at Mount Vernon. He was treated totally separate than any of the other enslaved people. And I believe it's because of the service he gave Washington of encouragement.
These are beautiful stories. You'll find them in this book, Americans Who Made America, Richard V. Battle. Did you coin that term, Americans, as in the can-do spirit of our early Americans?
Well, I've heard something similar before, but to me, that Americans-do spirit is what we've got to celebrate. And I think we need to emphasize cans in America.
All right. I want to go back to those that we do know, though, from history. Let's start with Benjamin Franklin. Tell us about him.
Well, he was born in England, you know, in early 18th century, came to Philadelphia. Of course, everybody knows he was an inventor. He was there for the Declaration, went back and forth to Europe as a diplomat over the years. So he was kind of the elder statesman, if you will. But another person who was so intelligent and gifted and a teacher, writing the Poor Richard's Almanac and the other things that he wrote over the years, just such a treasure for us in our country, and so wise, and we can still learn so much from his writings today if we'll just follow them.
And Betsy Ross, the stories about Betsy Ross and our American flag. I have heard that there is some elaboration with that. What is the true story?
Well, I think there are people who want to say that she didn't do the first flag. She certainly made flags. And I don't know if there's an absolute answer or not, but I think that how people over the centuries have given her credit ought to be to her credit that we believe that part of the story and not these Johnny-come-latelys that are questioning it.
You know, that brings up another point, Richard. As we talk with Richard V. Battle, author of Americans Who Made America, when we look at our past through the veil of today's sensibility, oftentimes we want to malign people, and it really was the times that they lived in. It was much different than the sensibilities we have today regarding the black and white issue, for instance. And we want to say that the contributions they made are lessened because of other things they may have said or may have done. What is your attitude about that?
Well, I think you're right in identifying that, and I think it's a shame. No one's perfect. Our founders weren't perfect. No one since them. We're not perfect. So instead of focusing on the negative, because we all fail and fall short, let's look at positive contributions. Let's encourage people to do more positive contributions and not just tear them down when they fall short. And that's the sad thing to me. And most of the people who do the complaining, do the protesting, if you look, they've never accomplished anything positive in their lives. All they are critics. And so I want to encourage people to go out and chase those dreams and make things happen. And if you fall down, get up and fight again, as General Nathaniel Greene said.
Does it worry you that there are people today that don't want to talk about politics? They don't feel that they can publicly. And perhaps they're not going to contribute maybe what they could have aspired to because of how people are treated today for their views.
Well, yes, it's very sad because historically we've been able to talk, even if we disagree within families about different issues, we've been able to talk about it and say, okay, I respectfully disagree. Today, we're sitting there watching people on the left eat each other alive because they don't pass purity tests, for example. And it reminds me of the French Revolution, which was very different than the American Revolution, because they had these purity tests where no one could eventually pass. And we'll see people who are celebrated today in the not so distant future, they're going to be eaten by people who are further out on the limb, if you will, of the protest groups than they are.
All right, let's look at Paul Revere. I was so amazed. I toured his home in Boston, could not believe how small it was, the ceiling height, for instance. And when you think about this larger-than-life character that you've learned about to see how they lived back then, it really was remarkable to me.
Well, yes, and he wasn't the only writer. Critics have pointed that out. There were other writers, but the reason he was given more credence was he had been a messenger for more than just the night of April 18, 1775. And in his silver business, he had liberty, if you will, to travel around the countryside doing business. And so as he did that, he could deliver or pick up intelligence to pass along to people. And so I think that's why, and of course, Longfellow's famous poem that we learned when we were kids that no one learns anymore about the midnight ride of Paul Revere helped in that situation too.
If our founding fathers were alive today and active in politics, do you think, Richard, that we would be as divided of a nation that we currently are?
Well, the thing, and in the 19th century volume, one of the things I write about is how we reunified after the Civil War. And the thing that helped that reunification was that both sides loved America first. And in our founding period, the founders put aside their individual agendas temporarily to do the Declaration and Constitution and fight the war because America came first. And then once all that was secured, they had individual agendas. Unfortunately, today we have people who don't love America. We have people who put their individual agendas above the country and will not give an inch. And that's what makes this time more precarious than it was previously.
It is just boggles the mind to think that American exceptionalism has been so denigrated in today's world when that is what this country was founded on.
Well, absolutely. And I think it goes back to the faith that God has blessed this country and brought people together and not only given us certain benefits, but we've had certain responsibilities for people around the world. And I think we've been the most charitable country in the history of the world also. And that all comes from those blessings and the individualism, if you will, and the political and economic freedom. They don't work individually. You have to have both of them. And we see other countries try to use one and not the other, and it doesn't work. And that's what's unique about our country, putting those together. And our founders studied the history of civilizations and what worked and what didn't. And that crafting of the Constitution was brilliant.
We could all use that reminder. You really have to be a student of history to really appreciate that, especially in today's world. Richard V. Battle, author of Americans Who Made America, his series. And you can get more information by going online to richardbattle.com. And he also has, besides 18th century, 19th century, 20th century. I asked you off air if you would be doing one on the 21st century, and you said you don't do books on people who are still alive. Why
well,
not?
Well, that's one of my parameters, yes. So it's a little early in this century to complete that volume.
Hopefully you're around because your books are outstanding. This one features 245 motivational quotations and 50 illustrations, and the book is designed to inspire you, readers of all ages, especially young adults, too, which I think is so important. Again, go to richardbattle.com, also sold on Amazon. Thank you so much, sir. Great talking with you, and happy birthday to America. Happy 4th of July. What a great
My
series
pleasure.
You have.
Happy Independence Day, and God bless America.
God bless you. Thank you. Richard V. Battle on the Lucy Ann Lantz Show. He's an award-winning and Amazon bestseller author of 12 books now. He's a media commentator, frequently appearing on radio and television, and has been a motivational speaker and trainer for more than 30 years on leadership, sales, and faith. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.